Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. June is here. Did you get any rain this week? Well, the rainy season has started. Friday morning, we hadn't had any at our house, and my poor azaleas were showing the stress. They were all wilted. I'm thankful we have made it into the rainy season, though. What do you do with your landscape to make your plants and turf more drought tolerant? What if you don't get rain? Do you have to water more often in a drought? Tom and I will discuss ways to conserve water in your landscape while also making sure that your landscape looks good, even if we don't have enough rain. Tom and I are also taking your phone calls 407-916-5400 or 1-888-455-5296. Or you can text Tom anytime at 23680. So join Tom, Joni, Colton, and me for this hour of Better Lawns and Gardens on Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. That's 800-689-9715.
Tom McCubbin is Extension Agent Emeritus with the University of Florida. Give him a call at 1-888-45-LAWNS. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
Lou Holtz tells of a pig and a chicken looking up at a sign in the window of their local Waffle House, and it advertised the daily special, ham and eggs, for only $3.99. "Look at that," said the chicken, "I'm involved." "You may be participating," said the pig, "but for me, it's total commitment." The famous football coach goes on to describe some of his teams. He said, "They remind me of the kamikaze pilot who flew 50 missions. He was involved, but not committed." Not many are totally devoted, truly committed to get the job done no matter what the personal cost. Certainly, this is true in people's relationship with God. Many folks in our churches may participate to some extent, but true commitment just isn't there. And the only way to change that is to surrender our life to Jesus, to be all in for Him. This is Bryant Wright, hoping you'll commit, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Good morning and welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and my June newsletter is out. You can sign up for the monthly newsletter in your backyard on my website, she-consulting.com. And so this week, in the last few days, I've seen lovely rain clouds and the rain falling in the sky counties away. But Tom, how much rain did you and Joni get?
Oh, about 3/4 of an inch total for the whole week. Until yesterday, we had traces.
Traces.
And that was it.
Exactly. Well, I thought I had a little bit of traces over the last couple of days, but I think they were just birds flying over.
Yeah.
It wasn't really raindrops.
Well, Jeannie wrote us and said she got 4 inches last week.
Wow, I mean, that's incredible.
That's a lot of rain. Depends on where you are. Location, location.
Location, location, location. And so I think getting water to the landscape is one of the biggest dilemmas for homeowners in Florida, especially new Florida residents. It's hot. They think they need to water a lot. And that's not necessarily the case, though. But we do have infamous sandy soils that has a reputation of needing lots of water. But, Tom, is that really the case?
You know, it's not. And what irrigation does, it gets us from rainstorm to rainstorm. And so we need to make sure there's adequate moisture there, but you don't have to overwater. I mean, the soil holds an inch of soil, a top foot of soil holds about an inch of water.
Right, and 1 inch of rainfall will go down about 12 inches.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we do get enough rainfall here in the state of Florida. And, you know, speaking of going from rainfall to rainfall, we actually want the plants to get a little bit dehydrated so they'll push the roots down deeper.
A little stress, yes.
A little
stress helps us all, including the plants.
So how much water does turf really need?
You know, if we give it 3/4 of an inch of water probably twice a week, we probably should be okay. That equals 1.5 inches of water. Now, in some areas, it depends on the quality of the turf. Turf has a very shallow root system. You may have to water it more often, but that may be your fault also. You're not developing that deep root system.
Right, because what they're doing basically is if they're watering more often, especially hand watering even over the 2 times a week during the summertime, then they're really kind of growing that turf hydroponically.
Yeah, and they're growing a shallow-rooted turf also. So you really need to try to get your turf accustomed to a little bit of drought, and that means letting it stress a little bit. And like you say, you get a deeper root system.
Okay, so signs of stress are the St. Augustine grass will turn a little bit blue. What are some other signs?
Well, the leaves kind of curl, and they will eventually start to crinkle after a period of time. You don't want to get to that real dry stage if you can help it. But St. Augustine's more drought tolerant than you think. I've seen some St. Augustine's go pretty dry, and when the rains come back again. It was a miracle to me. Zoysia's the first one to turn brown.
Exactly. And so there's really no miracle grass out there.
Nope.
Nope. And so the difference between Bahia and Zoysia grass and St. Augustine is if they're established, and that's the key phrase, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But if Bahia grass and Zoysia grass is established, it'll go dormant, but then it'll green up. But if St. Augustine doesn't get the rainfall or irrigation, supplemental irrigation, it will die.
Yeah, but it takes it a good while. You know, it's tougher than we think. And I've seen St. Augustine go several weeks without water, turn brownish in color, and when the rains come, it comes back. It doesn't always happen that way, but it's tougher than we think.
And so really, the turf grass can go 1 time a week. You can water it just once a week and it'll be fine.
Yeah, and it depends on, you know, how deep the root system is, where you are. There's some people tell me they never water, and that's areas that are naturally wet,
They're close to the lakefront or low-lying areas.
Or water tables high up and the roots are down into it there. So it's wherever you might be. There was one extension agent over on the coast. He said he never watered. And I said, I have to water a couple of times a week. And he said, well, I never have to water, but he had to be in that situation.
Sure. So now what kind of practices can increase water retention? So when we're talking about, you know, established plants and landscape, what can we do to get them through these hard times of drought?
Well, you just water when you need to. And the heavier the soil, the more organic matter, the more clay it has in it, the better off you're going to be as far as stretching the time between waterings. But we have sandy soils, so just water it, let it stress a little bit. I guess I hate watering rules because it says you have to water on those days.
Right.
Where I'd like to be able to go 4 or 5 days and then water if I could, but it says, well, we can't trust the average person.
What I like to do is I like to walk across the lawn and then just wait about 3 to 5 seconds and turn around and look. If you can see the footprints of that you've stepped on the lawn and it didn't have the hydration to pop back up again, you need to water. But if your St. Augustine grass just pops right back up, there's no reason to water.
Yeah, and, exactly right.
And you even get people telling you, I can bounce in my lawn. Have you heard that? And
yeah.
Then you walk across and it's all nice and squishy. That means there's plenty of moisture in there.
Yeah, it may tell you they're overwatering too if they got that spongy layer.
What about, you know, these additives that we can add to soils like the polymer crystals? Do those really benefit the soil or the turf?
You know, I don't find long-term benefit out of them. Maybe short-term, but it's not one of my favorite products to use, to be honest with you.
Okay, and so when we talk about watering, You know, and people don't know exactly how long to water. They just set the timers.
I know.
And they don't want to even fool with them. But turning it on for an hour is maybe just too much water.
Not too much. You know, it's amazing. A good friend of ours, Ed Thralls, used to run the water clinic. And he would say many people were underwatering and they didn't realize how much it took. And some of them were overwatering. You had both extremes. So you need to measure it. You just set those tuna fish cans out there or rain gauges. Some pest control companies have given out little rain gauges
that you can use.
Yeah, and you can tell how much water you're putting out. Half to three quarters of an inch at each watering.
It's better to water less often but longer. Instead of I know some people will water like 10 minutes for every day. 10 minutes every day, and one that's not
good.
But it's not good either because you're still creating that short root system.
Yes, shallow root system is exactly right.
So what are some other practices that we can do that will enable the grass and the turf in your landscape to hold the water longer?
Yeah, proper fertilizing that helps develop the good strong root system. Cut it at the proper height.
And how tall would that be?
Well, for St. Augustine's, the standard St. Augustine and Bahia grass is 2-3 to 4 inches. But if you have the semi-dwarf, you can cut it down to about 2 inches.
Right. So scalping the grass is not good.
No.
The height of your blade is the depth of your roots, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about, I think for plants, it's basically right plant, right place.
I agree. No doubt about that. And if you have a plant that can't take the drought, put it in there. Don't put it in an area where you're not going to be watering very much.
And then also, too, we want to, we talk about, watering when you have new turf. How long would you suggest new turf should be watered? How often? Because they get a little bit of a break.
Yeah. Everybody has their own rule on this. Mine is this way. First week, every day. Second week, every other day. Third week, every third day. And by the fourth week, you should be pretty much on that twice a week at the most type schedule. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we have some hot, dry, windy days, you may have to water an extra time, but that's my schedule, 1, 2, 3.
That's what I do, too, 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, and then you're on that schedule. It's really easy to remember. But why do some of the growers or the sod companies or the landscapers say you have to water it every day for a month?
I know, and it's scary because that can rot out a lot of turf, especially if it's in the shade.
And it never gets established.
That's right. And during the summertime, I don't even suggest people sod in the shade because I know that it's going to get overwatered.
It is.
And it's going to rot out. So.
It is. So how long before the grass is established and, for turf? How long is it before it gets established?
Well, when you can tug at it and it tugs back at you, it's on the way to being established. And after 2 weeks, you should be able to feel that tugging back. After about 4 weeks, it should be pretty well established.
I say 3 mowings.
Yeah.
Three mowings is pretty good. What about trees, though? How long should you water trees?
You water them a lot longer because it's going to take them longer to come out into the surrounding soil. I would say for the first couple of weeks, it's every day. Then every 2 to 3 days, and that continues until you really get into a good rainy season or until the roots start to grow out into the surrounding area.
So when we go into the second season, though, the trees, it may take them 5 to 7 years before they really become established.
Rainfall. And it depends on the different trees, too. Like dogwoods, for instance, you don't own a dogwood for 2 years.
No.
Or azaleas, you don't really own them for 2 years. It takes that long to become established.
Well, that's so important for people to realize. And so you want to check your irrigation systems monthly because I just went to a landscape and they had a couple of plants that were dying that were good last week, but the irrigation had popped out. And so they didn't have any irrigation at all. And, of course, they started to die immediately.
We see that all the time.
Let's go to Robert in Altamont Springs. Good morning, Robert. How can we help you?
Speaking of watering and dry patches.
There you go.
Yes.
Hey, Robert, how can we help?
Okay, I have a azalea grass that we put in this year, and I have some patchy stuff gray. They kind of dried out. Should I just leave it alone and keep watering it?
Well, first of all, I dig down and see what's happening underground. If it's dry, then that area needs watering. You might even punch a few holes down there with a pitchfork or an aerator of some sort and let the water penetrate a little bit more because something's happening to that if it's drying out. Or if it's gray and looks like it's drying out, it may just be an area that repels moisture, and putting some holes in the ground and watering will help out.
And they might also want to just turn the system on and see if it's getting water.
Yeah, see if it's even hitting it.
Yeah, right. So, you know, always when you're thinking you got an area that's dying, turn the water on and see if that area is even getting it. There's shrubs in the way or it's not, you know, set properly.
Yeah.
And so Al, can we take Al real quick?
Let's get Al on the way back. What do you say?
Okay, we'll do that. If you have a gardening question, now's the time to call us at 407-916-5400 or 1-888-LAWNS. Or you can text Tom at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Our cookie two-step ice cream is a creamy vanilla ice cream with hints of brown sugar, chunks of chocolate cream-filled cookies, and tasty chocolate chip cookie dough pieces. Cookie two-step has everybody's taste buds two-steppin', and one and two.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made.
Teresa Watkins is an award-winning horticulturist and landscape designer in Central Florida. Give her a call at 1-888-45-LAWNS. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Call 800-989-1694. 800-989-1694. That's 800-989-1694.
Lou Holtz tells of a pig and a chicken looking up at a sign in the window of their local Waffle House, and it advertised the daily special, ham and eggs, for only $3.99. "Look at that," said the chicken. "I'm involved." "You may be participating," said the pig, "but for me, it's total commitment." The famous football coach goes on to describe some of his teams. He said, "They remind me of the kamikaze pilot who flew 50 missions. He was involved, but not committed." Not many are totally devoted, truly committed to get the job done no matter what the personal cost. Certainly, this is true in people's relationship with God. Many folks in our churches may participate to some extent, but true commitment just isn't there. And the only way to change that is to surrender our life to Jesus, to be all in for Him. This is Bryant Wright, hoping you'll commit, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We would love to hear from you. You can call us at 407-916-5400 or you can dial 1-888-45-LAWNS, or you can text Tom at 23680, and Joni will take your calls for you, and Tom will take your text. If you would like to get my Gardener's Compendium series, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through Zulon Press. And Tom, let's go to Al in Melbourne. Good morning, Al. How can we help you?
I have an issue with grass seed. I have a house that's got over close to 4,000 square feet of grass. It's a rehab house. We can't afford sod, so I put mulch down, and the lawn was all overgrown. It is sandy, and then I got some topsoil. I seeded it once, and it came up. Well, I had a problem with the seed the first time with a local supplier, UKelm, who are great people. And they said, well, the seed was shelf priced out, you know, the shelf lifed out, and so on and so forth. So they replaced it. But the first seed was like a tannish, like dried out. Then the second one he gave me was pink. So that grew up pretty good. Well, then we added topsoil to it because it was an issue with the sandy soil. And so I went down and I got another batch of it. I tried Walmart's. So I had to take it back. I did a test with it in good topsoil in a little container, and it didn't work. So they were polite, and they gave me the money back. And so now I'm back with the same issue. I got another batch of it from him, and we had plenty of water when I put it down, and the topsoil is not too bad at all, better than what was there, and I get no growth. So is there a better source for the seed, or what's my issue here?
Well, the first thing you look at is the germination percentage and when it was last tested. If it's much more than, I don't know, about 6 months old, somewhere around there, grass seed deteriorates fairly quickly. So I think they actually say 9 months, but I say 6 months. But I do the test just like you did with the one batch of seed that you bought. Put it in a little topsoil and keep it moist. What type of seed are you trying to grow? What type of lawn?
It's Bahia.
Okay, Bahia. Bahia takes anywhere from 14 to 21 days to start off with. But you want the fresher the seed, the better. And the pink coloring on it was probably a fungicide that they put on it. So I would do the little test, you know, and see. These days you can't tell where the seed has been. Has it been stored properly? I always worry about some garden centers. I see seeds sitting outside.
And also, too, I would ask, when did you do it? Did you do it in January, February? Because Bahia grass really needs the warmer temperatures.
Yeah, now's the time.
Now's the time to do it. And you say 14 to 21 days for it to show. But it really
I seeded it probably 3 weeks now. And like I said, we got plenty of rain. And plus one of the days when it wasn't really too good, I watered it. I don't have a sprinkler system fixed out yet because, like I said, the house was built in 1928 by Al Capone for his mistress, believe it or not.
Well.
A really quaint little house, all cedar, knotty pine inside. But anyway, that's not the point. But and so it's our budget is tight.
Yeah.
Like I said, I try to give it plenty of, and I fertilized it. And what do you think is the best fertilizer to put on there? I think I got 666.
You don't want to fertilize it.
Yeah, you don't really need to put fertilizer down until it starts to come up, and then you can put the fertilizer down. Here's the secret to Bahia grass. The soil needs to be loose, and you need to get it covered up to a half an inch, no more than half an inch, and you need to keep it moist, watering every day lightly at least. And then you're going to get the germination in 14 to 21 days. Nice fresh seed is normally up in 14 days.
Right.
It'll get a little stale. It takes a little longer. But if the seed didn't come up at that time, what you do is you check the seed. You look into the ground. You pull up a piece of seed and you push it open and see if it's still viable inside. But otherwise, I do the test like you did with one source of seed you got and just test
that's
them.
Underway right now.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much, Al.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
You're
have
welcome. I think he's going to have a lot of Bahia grass seed germinating in a few weeks. Let's go to Richard in Tallahassee. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How are y'all doing today?
Well, I'm checking. Yeah, I look okay.
Good.
Teresa looks okay.
Well,
I think we're up. Joni looks okay. Colton, I'm not sure.
I called you around Christmas. I bought my wife a gardenia for Christmas, and it's planted. It was in a 3-gallon bucket. It's planted. And it's in pretty much full sun. It's already bloomed.
Good.
Now, we have not had rain in a month. Now, okay. I'm telling you, May, we had no rain. So I'm watering my grass and my gardenia, but I'm still getting all these yellow leaves, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. There's a couple of reasons why gardenias turn yellow. One is fertilizer, you know, the pH of the plant. But it also, I've seen gardenias yellow when they're starting to put out buds.
Yeah, they may drop some leaves at that time. Richard, here's one thing you do. Dig down in the ground and feel the root ball. The water that you're putting down may be going around the root ball and not wetting it. For a new plant like that to be dropping lots of leaves, I still look at a moisture problem.
Yeah.
It's not really dropping. They're just more. They're just yellow.
Older leaves. Well, still.
It's still an issue with the roots, more than anything else.
Yeah. Have you fertilized it?
I have fertilized it. I'm not sure what fertilizer I used. I just bought it. I didn't have any help.
Yeah.
When I was getting it but I have fertilized it. I'm kind of thinking I need to do it again.
Well, you don't want to overdo it either. But somebody slow release fertilizer. Either Osmocote or Dynamite or Shake and Feed, Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed, or anybody else's. Bonide has one also.
Now, does it need to be acidic fertilizer?
You know, I don't get as excited about the acidity for gardenias, but slightly acid it would be good.
Okay.
What about watering?
Well, how often do you water it?
A couple times a week.
Oh, you may have to do it more than that for a new plant with a limited root system.
Okay.
All right. So especially if it's in the sun, and especially since we've had these hot temperatures in May and didn't get any rainfall.
Yeah. Limited root system.
No, right.
That gardenia, you aren't going to own that gardenia in the ground for probably a year. So you really got to stay with it. And when it gets...
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard, very much. If you've got a question, you'd like to give us a call, 407-916-5400, or you can text us at 23680. And, Tom, we have plenty of texts.
Oh, yes, we do. And here's a follow-up on watering that we started off the program with. It says, what time of day is the best time to water St. Augustine?
Oh, well, see, a lot of people water at night, and that's not really beneficial. In fact, that'll increase fungus. So I always like to say 5 to 6 o'clock in the morning. You don't want the turf to be wet longer than about 4 to 5 hours.
You want it to kind of dry off and keep down the fungal problems and things like that.
And they can water all the way up through 10, you know, so 10 a.m. in the morning. So, you know, if you start at 5, you should get through your lawn, you know, through all the different zones by 10.
Things like that. Good. Okay, here's a suggestion, actually. What about eliminating sod headaches by planting ground covers, either Sunshine Mimosa or the Perennial Peanut?
You know, those are choices, and I think that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with turf. It doesn't need more water than regular plants. It's just that people, you know, tend to overwater it. So it is your highest user of water and maintenance in a landscape. Ground covers are a choice.
Yep. I like Asiatic jasmine also.
I do too.
Yeah. And the one that they listed, the ones they listed there, the mimosa sensitive plant or the perennial peanut and the Asiatic jasmine, once established, they're pretty drought tolerant.
They are very drought tolerant, and that's a good choice. I like to use them. I incorporate them. I like to put mimosa into bahia grasses and just have them both growing at the same time. And, you know, it looks really pretty. And then perennial peanut, again, you know, just having beds of it. I love seeing it in medians, and it looks really good on the street.
It's a nice, tough, durable plant, but you can have trouble with weeds in the beginning. Now, do you get it as the plugs, or do you get it as a piece of sod?
I get it as the plugs, you know, either in plugs or in little pots,
mm-hmm.
And that's the way I find it's easiest. I've not really seen it sold in sod pieces, but I know you can do it.
Yeah. The thing is, if you do put in perennial peanut, get the university bulletin, because it also has the weed control suggestions.
That's it. And again, there's just no miracle, you know, ground cover for an area. It's just about best management practices and doing the right thing, right plant, right place.
Kind of what you want. Let's give them the number again.
Let's go to 407-916-5400 or 1-888-4055-LAWNS.
Yeah, 1-888-455-2967. 2967. We have an operator standing by.
There you go.
Or sitting by. Okay, here's one here from the earlier we talked with Tina about wildlife. So speaking of wildlife, I saw a big brown bunny in the yard this week. It was seeking out and eating the dollar weed. Good bunny, huh?
Well,
this
that's
is from
a
Lisa,
great bunny.
Lisa in Port Orange.
I love little bunnies. I love seeing them, you know, and they're not really a trouble where we are, but we have lots of feral cats.
Yeah, well, they like to eat my corn and my beans and things like that.
How do they reach your corn? Do they just eat it at the
bottom? They eat it when it first comes up. So I have to protect it when it's fairly young. So we have some feral cats also, and we don't see the bunnies anymore. Okay, here's a good one here. I have tiny white bugs on my dill plant. How do I get rid of them so I can still use the dill?
Yeah, so it could be a couple of things. It could be either white flies or aphids, and I would use an insecticidal soap.
Yep, I think that would be fine. Just go through and spray it. Follow the label instructions as always. Okay, here's one here. It says some of the leaves on my Persian lime tree are dying, I guess crinkling probably, and almost all the fruit are getting a brown, rough coating on the skin. And that can be a couple of things. I'm thinking a citrus scab
right.
Is a possibility, or it could be mites.
It could be either one of those. How do they prevent that?
Well, the scab is a copper fungicide. You have to do it when the leaves are young or when the fruit are young. With mites, you can put it on now, and it will protect the other fruits. The fruits that, you know, are forming. But, yeah, and what you can do is, you know, just send us a picture, go up on our website, and get in contact with us, or Facebook. Facebook's a possibility, right?
Yeah, we get lots of messages on our Facebook, so you can go on our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and we would love to talk to you there. We can take your phone calls, 407-916-5400. Georgine is waiting. We'll take you when we come back. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Lou Holtz tells of a pig and a chicken looking up at a sign in the window of their local Waffle House, and it advertised the daily special, ham and eggs, for only $3.99. "Look at that," said the chicken, "I'm involved." "You may be participating," said the pig, "but for me, it's total commitment." The famous football coach goes on to describe some of his teams. He said, "They remind me of the kamikaze pilot who flew 50 missions. He was involved, but not committed." Not many are totally devoted, truly committed to get the job done no matter what the personal cost. Certainly, this is true in people's relationship with God. Many folks in our churches may participate to some extent, but true commitment just isn't there. And the only way to change that is to surrender our life to Jesus, to be all in for Him. This is Bryant Wright, hoping you'll commit, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Visit us on the web at betterlawns.com and on our Facebook page at BLG Radio. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep.
They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. 800-689-9715. That's 800-689-9715.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you missed any of today's show, you can always find it on Better Lawns and Gardens website, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and Amazon. You can also find the podcast on my website, she-consulting.com. And Better Lawns and Gardens, Tom, had it hit a big milestone in podcasts last weekend. They had we had over 10,000 downloads of Better Lawns and Gardens.
That's a lot.
I love that. I think that's wonderful. Thank you to all our listeners across the state and country. Since we've had so many Florida snowbirds out of state last year, I think they listened while they were staying home up north. So you don't have to miss an episode. You can always listen at your convenience during your workout, on your walk, or, of course, while you're out in the garden.
Yeah, some people like to do it that way. And in some areas, our program doesn't always broadcast at this time. And so what they'll do is they just download it and catch it at another time.
There you go. And that's so convenient. And so let's go to Georgine in Altamont Springs. Good morning, Georgine. How can we help you?
I have a fire spike bush, and it's almost like I have two. One side looks really well. The other side doesn't. And never had any problems with them before. They're probably about 3 feet tall. Do I need to cut them back, get them restarted? What can I do to make them look happy?
Georgine, is it the purple one or the red one?
It's the red.
Okay, so that should bloom during the summertime. 3 feet tall isn't very tall for that plant. Is it full? I mean, is it a nice bushy plant?
As I said, one side is perfect. The other side looks kind of sad. And I don't know, should I cut that other side down or what?
It sounds like it's a root problem there. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too, Georgina. It's a root problem. So I would dig down and see what's going on.
Yeah. And if it literally looks like it's declining going back, yeah, I'd cut it out and let the other side take over.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, is
just
it
like that?
Is it big enough that if you cut the one out, the other one will take over?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure. Sure.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
So good. All these years, I mean, I've probably had it 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, well, plants don't last forever, and that's a perennial, and every now and then we do have to renew them.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that you need to cut some of these plants just to keep them looking healthy and to start new growth. If not, it gets woody and it doesn't, grow as many leaves.
Yes, the fire bush is a true perennial. It's not really a shrub as such.
Right.
So it's time when you may have to renew them. I have a hedge of the red fire bush that's probably 15, 20 years old.
Wow.
And I cut it back hard at least once a year, and I have the purple.
This is the first year I haven't cut it back. I mean, usually I cut it back a little bit, but because it looked kind of like it was declining, I thought, I better call Tom and Teresa and see what's going on.
I'd go ahead and cut it back. 3 feet is not very tall. I'll be honest with you. Mine grows up to about 12 feet tall, 10 feet maybe.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it gets water and fertilizer.
And what do you use for the fertilizer?
I use one of the slow-release products. The product I grew up with was Osmocote, but you can use dynamite. I use the shake and feed, sometimes the ortho shake and feed. I tell you what, Georgine, I use what's on sale.
Well, I've got a bag of Osmocote, so I think I will introduce Osmocote to them. Does yours bring a lot of the little hummingbirds?
Oh, yeah, hummingbirds and butterflies.
Love it.
Yep, mine too. Haven't had the hummingbirds, got a lot of butterflies, but that's not from that particular bush. Okay, well, I'll see what happens, and I'll let you know in the future if your word succeeds.
Thank you so much, Georgine. Now, Tom, we had a question from Mike in Venice, and he just planted a nice, lovely row of coleuses, and he was wanting to know if he should pinch them back.
When I first put them in, I normally don't pinch them back. I let them get established and start growing. And then I'll pinch them back to produce a bushier plant And when I actually cut them back a little bit, and I root the cuttings.
I know. They're so easy to cut. You really shouldn't have to buy them after, you know, the first batch. And there we go. So let's go to Robert now in Plant City. How can we help you, Robert?
Good morning. I'm talking about a Hercules club.
Oh,
okay.
One of the forgotten plants of host butterflies. So I thought I'd mention that because I never hear anyone talk about it.
Well, I think that they're, you know, kind of the plants that people don't normally put in the ground because they've got all those big thorns on them.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I know, but I love them. But I just wanted to mention that because there are other plants that don't have a lot of blooms, are flashy, but are host plants to our native butterflies.
I know. They're a great plant, and we should, plant them more. I like to use them in my designs when I'm putting in a native landscape, and I put them towards the back, you know, somewhere where it's not close to a walking area pathway or a screen where they can get, you know, puncture the screens and the netting. So, yeah, it's a great plant. Native plants should be planted when you're trying to restore habitat or to attract butterflies.
Is it hard for you to get them?
You can go to the native nurseries and get them. The trees nurseries don't usually carry them. So, you have to look for them, but I would just, you know, Google it, Hercules Club, or go to your favorite butterfly nursery and native nursery, and you can find them.
Yeah, Robert, do you have some in your yard?
Yes, I do. They're the perimeters of our property, and I just love them. In fact, I'm doing an area on the east side of my property now, and I have the clubs over there, and they're growing by themselves, and they're just gorgeous, I think.
They are. It's a good reminder, Robert. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
You.
You're welcome. You know what's blooming now that's really nice, but it also has the thorns in it, and that's the Jerusalem thorn.
Oh, yeah, and I love the Jerusalem thorn.
It's yellow, and it's blooming right now.
We don't use them much.
Nope, but they are wonderful, but they do have thorns on them.
We had one right next to a church that I went to, and I thought that was the appropriate plant.
That is a great plant. Very good, very good. We're going to take more of your phone calls, 407-916-5400, or you can text Tom at 23680. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Look, at first I wasn't completely sure about getting the COVID vaccine. But then I thought about all the activities I love that I've had to hold off since the pandemic. I miss my life before COVID. And this vaccine is our best shot at safely getting back to the things we love. Don't you want to get back to normal too? Get your COVID vaccine at your local community health center. It's convenient and completely free. Visit FACHC.org today to find your new medical home.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases, including Zika and West Nile virus. But Summit Mosquito Dunks kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at fine garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. Or visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
If the lines are busy, please try again. 1-888-45-LAWNS. Tom and Teresa will be right back.
Lou Holtz tells of a pig and a chicken looking up at a sign in the window of their local Waffle House, and it advertised the daily special, ham and eggs, for only $3.99. "Look at that," said the chicken. "I'm involved." "You may be participating," said the pig, "but for me, it's total commitment." The famous football coach goes on to describe some of his teams. He said, "They remind me of the kamikaze pilot who flew 50 missions. He was involved, but not committed." Not many are totally devoted, truly committed to get the job done no matter what the personal cost. Certainly, this is true in people's relationship with God. Many folks in our churches may participate to some extent, but true commitment just isn't there. And the only way to change that is to surrender our life to Jesus, to be all in for Him. This is Bryant Wright, hoping you'll commit, speaking right from my heart.
For more on this and other topics, visit rightfromtheheart.org.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
And we're back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. And Tom, we had a text message. Somebody wanted clarification about the fire spike
bush. They said the caller says fire spike, not fire bush. And I think the message says fire spike bush.
And I think Georgine mentioned a bush, you know, but the word bush, but she may not have. But there are fire spikes, and they do get tall.
Yeah, mine.
I'm surprised.
Mine gets 10 to 12 feet tall, and I cut it back. I keep it as a hedge, the red one. I keep it as a hedge, and I'll cut it back to 4 feet, somewhere around there. And then it grows back up and has all these tall spikes on top of it. Now, the fire bush is a native, and that will get tall, too. I've seen that one get 6 to 8 feet tall. But there's also a dwarf form also.
Right. The Hamilia patens compacta.
Yes.
And that's the more orangey color one. But the fire spikes from Mexico and Central America.
Right.
And it is a very tropical plant. If you want to plant tropical, that would be a great one.
Yeah, especially during the summertime with the red flowers. But during the wintertime, there's the purple form also.
Yeah.
And that gets equally tall, I'll tell you.
It does.
And fast.
That's what he said, 4 to 12 feet tall. I'm really surprised. That's great. Great to know. 2 to 3 feet wide. And it provides beautiful color. Butterflies and hummingbirds love it. Let's go to Ann in Melbourne. Good morning, Ann. How can we help you?
Good morning. I have torpedo grass throughout my lawn, and I would really appreciate knowing how to get rid of it. I've tried digging it up, but I know that many times when I've done that, I've broken off the stem of the root. It's so invasive, and I just can't seem to get rid of it.
What type of lawn do you have?
Well, that's the problem. It's more or less taken over. I've lost the Bermuda grass that I had once.
She had Bermuda.
Okay. I can take it out of Bermuda and Zoysia, but I can't take it out of St. Augustine or Bahia or Centipede.
Lost all the rest of it anyway, so I feel as if I have to put Roundup on the whole darn thing. But if I put Roundup on it, then what is the procedure on that? Because I will lose everything.
Yeah, you're going to kill out everything. And the problem is you put it on the torpedo grass is going to die back. But there's other rhizomes of torpedo grass in the ground that are going to come back after that. So you're normally going to have to go through and treat it once and then wait for it to come back up in a few weeks.
And then treat it again.
And make sure the soil stays moist so it'll come back up and treat it again and hope you get most of it out at that point in time.
Now, if she just puts like a product on it, like the brush or the Grass Be Gone, will she have to do multiple applications? Which one's going to be more cost effective?
Probably the Roundup is going to be more cost effective. Yeah.
And then she just needs to resod then.
Resod after that, yeah. Yeah. Till it up and resod. I would really. It may even take 3 applications, I'll be honest with you. Torpedo grass is very vigorous, and you leave a little bit in the ground, and it's going to come back.
Oh, my.
Yeah, the other option is mow it.
Torpedo. And just kind of cultivate it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said mow it, but I've already killed half the lawn.
Oh. Because I'm going to say, I don't know why we didn't cultivate torpedo grass, because if you mow it, it almost looks like St. Augustine.
Really? Well, that's what a friend of mine said. But, you know, it comes and it has the seeds on the top where it, you know, replants itself every time you let it grow.
Yeah, we got to keep mowing it. Keep
full maturity, I mean, you know, to send the things up. It's just been a real pain for me ever since I bought the house. It was there.
Well, good luck in dealing with it.
Mowed when I bought it, and I didn't realize what it was. I thought it was regular grass, but the whole thing was torpedo grass.
Oh my goodness!
Well, good
gracious.
Luck and thank you.
Thank you for calling and let us know what happens, Ann. Okay, let's go to Joni in Kissimmee. Good morning, Joni. How can we help you?
I'm trying to get rid of colocasia, elephant ears.
Yes.
In my pasture.
Oh wow!
I have horses. I have a pasture and a lovely green grass. And somehow, some got in. I live near the creek, and it's been spreading. And we've tried to dig it out with the corm underneath it. They said you have to get the corm out.
You do.
Yeah.
But now they're sprouting here and there all over the place.
Yeah,
well, I don't want to kill the grass.
Well, with the water and everything around, you know, what I would do if it's in your pasture, I think you need to get a hold of a pasture agent from the Extension Service, because we're not pasture people.
Right. I would definitely do that. Call the Osceola County Extension.
Okay.
All right. Let them know. That's going to protect your animals. Thank you so much, Johnny.
Right.
We got to run, hon. Thank you. Yep. Tom, we want to thank Tina McIntyre.
Okay, let me see if I can get this in
real quick. Oh, okay, sure.
So I planted some crepe myrtles last summer. They do not start to bloom yet. What should I do? It's probably not that, you still have time for the crepe myrtles
to
bloom.
Sure, yeah, they're going to be blooming now. It's probably a late bloomer, which starts to bloom in June and July.
Yeah.
So I would look to see if they have any seed pods on them that are coming out.
Still have plenty of time for that there. Let me see. We still have a couple of seconds here. When to prune and fertilize camellias?
I would prune them right after they bloom, which is now. I would do it before the end of June and fertilize them on a regular basis.
Yeah, and probably you might want to get one of the acid-forming types.
Exactly. Acidic fertilizer for camellias there. So now we can thank Tina McIntyre, Seminole County Horticultural Agent, for inspiring us to track more wildlife in our yards. That's so necessary. Joni, thank you for your information on the glorious sunflowers. Colton, thank you for such a great job producing this show. You're great. Thank you to all our callers and texters with your gardening questions. Remember to join Tom and I next week for more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. See you next week.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.